Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
From, I don't know where the hell I am. Now, last week I was in Las Vegas, and I traveled up I-95 going north, and I went through some interesting places like Beatty and Goldfield, interesting hotel in Goldfield, Tonopah, saw the Clown Motel. I didn't stop there. I did get gas across the street. That was as close as I wanted to get. Then I went through Hawthorne, and I think I'm beginning to understand what Ray Charles said when he said, all Holiday Inns look the same. Of course, he was blind. I might be in Yerington, but I'm on my way to Fernley, because in the Methodical Deception, you wrote, Rebecca, about tacos for Jesus. And I want to see if you know what you're talking about. You said they were the best tacos on earth, and you had to order in Spanish.
That's right.
So that's my destination.
All right.
I'm on my way to Fernley.
Okay. Well, you're not the first person that's wondered, is Tacos for Jesus a real location? Yes, indeed it is. You know, someone I did an interview with, and I did so many, I can't remember who it was, but they referred to my books as not fiction, but faction. And there's so much real life stuff in there. But again, I am not in there. I'm the writer of the people. I create them, give them names. And someone asked me the other day about some people's names. They're not esoteric. They're not Illuminati. They're just by chance. As a matter of fact, in Methodical Deception, the character of Ruth Ann actually started out when I was writing the I guess I could call it an outline. I was creating the story with all the information that had been uncovered and revealed through the research, who was going to deliver it. And, you know, for the longest time, Ruth Ann was going to be a man named David. I didn't have a last name for him yet. But when it came time for David to show up, he became Ruth Ann. So there's no magic. There's nothing mystical about it. It just happens as it happens. And, you know, I just like pull a name out of a hat almost.
So she can use either restroom.
She sure can. In my book, she can, I guess, but because she started out to be David. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But yes, that's a real location. And if you are going, let's see, I think that's Highway 80. That goes through northern Nevada. There's a town called Fernley, and if you just pull off and go right in there, you'll see it, Tacos for Jesus, and you want to stand in line because they're really good. They're very inexpensive, and it helps to speak some Spanish. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a report, Ramjet, from you next week to see how you like my tacos.
If I can remember where I am.
Exactly. Gosh, only knows. So, well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. We have a kind of a fun and exciting show today. We're going to be joined by a retired EMT, ER nurse, RN, and a gal that I've been chatting with, and we've been wanting to put this program together. We're going to talk about preparedness, and I promised I would get involved with this, and I'm actually working on a blog. So, you'll be able to link on to my preparedness blog from my web pages, and I'll put a Facebook page up for it and all that. And so you can find that. And I want to be able to have a blog so that you can come in and make a comment and ask questions. And then I'll, you know, direct you to some helpful places, because one of the things that turns people off about being prepared is that they think it's expensive. But we're going to talk about some of the stuff you can do, and a lot of the stuff I know that Nurse JoJo will tell you you can get at the Dollar Tree or the dollar store or at Walmart or at any grocery store. So there's no excuse that you aren't ready for something to happen. And if you can't see something's going to happen, then you better wake up, because it's going to happen. And
talk to Ray Charles.
So we want you to be prepared. And we're going to start with this show, and we're probably going to end up doing at least another one or two on the medical stuff, just because there's just so many wonderful hints. And what I'll do is I'll upload these into YouTube, and then I'll put them on that preparedness blog, and then I'll get some links into some other helpful information, because really you want to get your Google on and really research this, and you want to print that stuff out. And that's one of the things that you're going to hear from JoJo today, is that you want to print those out, because if there is an EMP or for any reason there is no electricity, there will be no internet. So you need to print that out now while you have the internet and electricity. So you want to get yourself a 3-ring binder and then start taking some notes. So in just a few moments, we're going to bring JoJo in here. But while we're doing that, why don't you just go right ahead and find yourself a little notepad, piece of paper, and a pencil, pen, so you can take some notes on this show. And then I'll have it up on YouTube also, so you can always hit the pause and the rewind and play it again, so you can take notes at that time as well. Just a quick update on the methodical conclusion. I will have the hard copy of the soft cover proof in my hands by Monday morning, which is pretty darn exciting. Once I look at that, and if everybody's done their jobs correctly, not just me, I mean, there's all kinds of people that deal with this, and it all looks good, then literally it will then get the okay, and it'll show up on Amazon within 24 to 48 hours. It'll be on Kindle at that point also. The hardback, I don't have the proof of, but it's usually like 3 to 5 days later. So if you're ordering hardback books, they're going to be just a couple days later. And then if everything looks good, the order is placed. So I'll be signing books probably within 5 days and mailing them out. So you'll look, if you've pre-ordered, and that special price is going to be good until July 15th. And then that's about the time it'll be on Amazon, maybe a little bit earlier. Then I have to bring it back to the regular pricing. And then you're going to get an autographed book, and you'll get several of these bookmarks, and you can share those with people. So you don't have to come across like a 9/11 truth or goofball or conspiracy nut. You can just say, hey, I just read the coolest series, and give them a bookmark. And on the backside, they can get the websites and the YouTube channel and all the information about the books.
Do you have any places to eat in Methodical Conclusion that
oh, yeah.
I should know about as long as I'm in the neighborhood?
Yes, I do, but it's too late for you. You've already left Las Vegas. yeah, you should have asked me that a couple of weeks ago while you were heading in there. Yes, as a matter of fact, there are some very, very interesting places to eat there. Eat, drink, and be merry, actually. So I'll be really busy next week. I'm very excited. I love to have this happen. This is always really fun to get box loads of, you know, hundreds of books and get them all signed and get them out there so you guys can start reading. And I would think that the Kindle should be up, I'm going to guess, Monday or Tuesday, no later than Wednesday of this coming week. So if you're a Kindle person, it'll be $9.11 again.
Do you know how you're going to sign this one?
No, I'm not quite sure. You know, it's funny because I was, I did the first book, Fasten Your Seatbelt. And the second book I did, Brace for Impact, which is the flight attendant's going to tell you, if you're preparing for an emergency landing of any sort, we all will be screaming out, brace for impact, at the same time, just like cheerleaders. So if there's six of us or 14 of us, you're going to think, wow, these guys are all saying the same thing.
Maybe you could say, here's your vomit bag.
Well, we have these other commands, you know, like bend over, stay down, but I just didn't feel that was appropriate for my book. Easy Victor is the pilot's command for us to evacuate the aircraft. So the commands, I'm not quite sure about. had some great times actually thinking about reminiscing some of the training, crazy moments in training that we had with some of those commands. But this might be a non-airplane one, but I just wish people to stand in the truth, because it's not easy to stand up here. And I know that I'd take a second just to thank. I think this week I must have got 200 emails from people that have somehow stumbled across the YouTube channel or the books or a troll badmouthing me and making all these weird comments. And there's even a porn site out there about me that they've created. But they, because they were such trolls, that this person came and emailed me, and where they were just horrified that someone would attack me personally, and it got their attention. And so they decided that they better see what this is all about. And now they're huge fans. They bought the Kindle, started reading it, or they got the books, and they are just, oh, okay, I can see now who's paying these people. And, you know, either they're junior high girls stuck in an old man's body and jealous, or somebody that's trying to do a self-published book that can't get them up there and saw that my first book was number 9 at Amazon. There's some kind of weird jealousy or some weird trip, or they're on the payroll for the real perpetrators of 9/11. But I just want to thank you guys, because you know what? Especially with this third book, this is a tough one to put out there, and you're not going to like it, and you're not going to like what you see, and it is real, and it's real scary. And I have to put it out there, because I'm going to stand in the truth to take me over. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that before this is on the market, which will be probably by Tuesday or sooner, I guess. But so anyway, thank you for your support. I love to get those emails. I don't have an explanation for these losers attacking me on a personal level and attacking other people they claim are me, which is really insane. So I just I don't listen to it, and I am sorry that you had to, I guess. But I guess sometimes, you know, the way to get to the party is sometimes a curvy road. And I guess sometimes when people hear someone on YouTube trashing another human being like they do, they just want to know why. And so they come over and start listening, and they know better. So anyway, I've had some great people come in and help. This third book is, to me, I use the word, I keep saying earth-shattering. It's just mind-blowing, and it's just horrific. It's not any more horrific than what they claimed happened, but it's right on up there. Maybe it's harder to swallow. So anyway, speaking of swallowing, I did get rid of my sore throat. I was kind of joking around that I was having a hard time swallowing the truth, because it's a mouthful, man, I have to tell you. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this book. Fasten your seat belts and keep them that way, and keep your luggage stowed, because it is that's a rough one, this one, for me. I if you're in the airline industry, yeah, it's going to be a tough one for you, too. I know my family. I know my airline family, and I know how hard this one's going to be to take. So anyway, there is your book update. And then can you do the bring in our guest for me? Okay. Well, so Ramjet's going to bring in our guest, and we'll just have her join us as soon as we can connect here. And Jojo, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I sure am.
All right. Well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. And can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your medical background? And then we're going to talk about getting them ready without spending a fortune, because I know you're good at that.
Oh, yeah. I've been practicing what I preach for a long time. I'm no longer an EMT. I started my career as an EMT in 1980. And, I mean, I still have the knowledge. I just don't have my certification anymore. And then I became an RN, and I spent the majority of my career in the emergency department. So I have a lot of experience in emergencies. I'm also a volunteer firefighter, so I still work the streets. I'm just not a certified EMT anymore, but I have been many years in the past. But anyway, I started thinking about prepping and all this stuff, I guess 2010, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it all started with just events that were going on around that time. And most towns, or where I'm from, we have a store called the Dollar Tree, but you have other type of dollar stores and Costco's and Sam's and Walmart's and all these other stores. And when I started at $20 a week, $25 a week, and I'm just going to hit on the medical stuff because there's a lot more to prepping that would take a lot longer than this show. But what I've done is I get a couple of those little plastic bins that have the lids on them, and I keep my prescribed medicine in one, and then I have one just for what we call over-the-counter medicine. These are real easily affordable. The place I shop is called the Dollar Tree. And this is some of the stuff you need to write down, some of the stuff that's important for you to keep on hand because you may not have access, you know, to the doctor as readily as you normally would. Even if nothing ever happens or you never get to have to shelter in place or you never lose your electricity or whatever, it never hurts to be prepared for anything. I mean, hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, anything. But some of the stuff you need to keep on hand are, of course, Tylenol, Advil, anti-diarrhea medicine, Pepto-Bismol, milk of magnesia, peroxide, bleach, ACE wraps, gauze, tape, bandages. And I recommend getting the old-time, old-fashioned Kotex because those also make very good bandages. You can get those little wipes that pop out of the little container. Now, these little stores also have vitamins. Now, they're not the most high-quality vitamins in the world, but at some point, something may be better than nothing. So you would certainly want your vitamin C, D, your B-complexes. Need to make sure you have aspirin. Make sure you have Benadryl. And then you can buy the creams, the anti-itch creams, the cortisone creams, the antibacterial creams. And then, you know, the other things you need to keep on hand that are real inexpensive are baking soda, bleach, peroxide, Epsom salt, and we'll get in a little more detail about that later. One thing I would like for everybody to really think about doing is get a three-ring notebook, and then you get those little sleeves you put papers in. And while everything's going okay, spend some time, do some homework. Go to a search engine and look up stuff and print out sheets on the uses of bleach, the uses of peroxide, the uses of baking soda, the uses of Epsom salt. All these things we're talking about right now are very inexpensive. At some point we're going to share, you know, how to make a homemade electrolyte, which would be something like a Gatorade type drink. Things like that that you might need to know, then you'll have it in a binder, and you won't, you know, have to go try to find it. If there's other things that you need to kind of do homework on, that's essential oils, herbs, natural remedies, plants, stuff like that. There's many. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I wonder if somebody else was supposed to be listening. Oils, herbs, natural remedies, plants, all these things you can go to search engines and look up. If you don't have to know exactly what you're looking for if you're in a search engine. You can just put in a couple of keywords and stuff will pop up and you can kind of go from there. And the one thing, now, if you go to Amazon or some of these other shopping sites, you can buy large first aid kits. They come in different sizes, different monetary values. There's one for about $100, $150. It's like a big duffel bag that basically has everything you need in it. But one thing you could keep in your little homemade first aid kit is a turkey baster, and that is very important. If you have children, you need one of those little children's syringes. Like, you know, when you have a baby, you know, you suck their nose out with a little syringe. You need to keep those handy. I use a turkey baster. I always keep that in my kit in case someone needs suctioned. So that's kind of important, too. Then we can talk about the bicarb, but because bicarb kind of keeps you alkaline. And there's many studies out there that show that if you keep your pH slightly alkaline, that most diseases will not grow in an alkaline environment. There's products on the market that does that. There's a product I take to keep my body alkaline. But there's many companies, many different just like essential oils, there's like two or three major companies. If you're going to get essential oils, make sure you're dealing with a a reputable company that has good oils, because there's a certain way they're manufactured. That's not the right word, but to study up and make sure. Now I know of a, you know, there is a couple of companies that have essential oils, and it's one, I don't know what they're called in every company, but they're all similar to the same. They're like antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, and you can use it in many different ways. So I'll always keep some of that on hand. So, and then there's many other essential oils. That's just like a whole another homework assignment on its own. So that's, isn't it really? So that's where I would start, is for your medical kit. And now, if you have a certain disease, like heart disease, diabetes, gallbladder problems, whatever your disease process might be, you need to make special care that you have those items to address your needs available at all times. Now, if you're a diabetic, you're going to have some extra problems because insulin is supposed to be kept cold. So you may have to come up with some other way to keep your insulin chilled. Because once it gets warm, it may still work some, but it's not going to work like it's supposed to. It's going to lose some of its potency, and then that's going to mess up your whole blood sugar stuff. But if you're in a precarious situation and you're not eating right, and you're in a shelter in place, maybe no electricity, things have gone downhill, you're going to have a lot of problems with your diabetes anyway. So make sure you have plenty of extra strips for your meter, and make sure you make and come up with some kind of alternate plan to – even if you can't get it cold, just keep it cool, just so it won't get hot or something. You need to learn to improvise on things. Now, the most important thing I want to tell you is you go to YouTube and you put in the search bar. Now, I know in light of everything that's happening here recently, you're not going to have time to go take CPR or first aid class or any of those things. All you have to do is go to YouTube. Type in whatever you want to know. How to treat a gunshot wound. There's four or five good videos on that. How to treat a broke arm, a sprain, a medical illness. If you were somewhere where you couldn't get to the hospital, what would you do for a chest pain? You know, things like that. That's one reason it's very important to always have baby aspirin. Because if you or someone else is having chest pain, you're going to have trouble getting medical care. You need to at least take an aspirin or two to try to maybe help the situation. So those are the kind of things you need to think about when you're thinking about your medical stuff. I think it's real important right now if you're out and about in a crowd, you know, just like what's happened in Dallas and what's happened. I think we've had four or five shootings since Dallas. You may be driving down the road and run across a cop that's shot. You're going to want to get out and try to help him if the scene's safe. So you need to know, you know, how to apply direct pressure. If the wound's in the chest, how to seal off the chest wound.
Talk about that. Let's talk about that. Sealing off a chest wound. If you have hemopneumothorax, if you've got blood in your lungs, you got a hole in your lung, what can they do if they have a bullet wound at the chest area, and what would it look like if they were having that issue? Would they see blood that's, say, bubbling at the site, and what could they do
It would be bleeding. You know, some wounds are going to bleed worse than others, so the you know, if there's not a whole lot of blood, doesn't mean it's not serious. It can, all the blood could be on the inside, like in the thoracic cavity. But anytime there is a chest wound, and the thoracic cavity includes the back. So if you're shot in the back, don't think just chest, frontal chest. Because what happens is you've got a hole in your lung, and then you have a hole in your skin. So that air in your lung is escaping. It causes pneumothorax and hemopneumothorax. But you need an occlusive dressing. I mean, we have these petroleum gauze dressings we use in the field and in the ER. But if you smoke, you can take the cellophane off your cigarette pack, and that would seal the wound. The way we do it is we tape all four sides and we leave one corner where we can open it up in case we need to relieve some pressure or some air, because other things can happen. It's real detail. If your trachea starts shifting, you're going to want to release some air. Different things, and it's just too complicated to, like, tell somebody on a radio show. But that's why I want everybody to go to YouTube and look those kind of things up.
Yes, especially now where there is so much really gun activity. And like you said, there have been so many police shot recently, and state patrolmen. I saw that down south somewhere there was a state patrol or a police officer and a traffic stop, and he got shot in the neck just recently in the last, you know, several days. And so it's very, you know, it's getting to be more and more common that you could actually come across something like that. So, you know, when we're talking about that, if you do travel, you want to have something in, even if what you have is, you know, a small box of Kotex for that. They are great for absorbing trauma blood. So if you've got somebody with a wound like that, put that on there. They're clean, and they do absorb a lot, and you can apply pressure using those really, really well. So looking into gunshots and how to help someone, especially if, you know, it's a police officer that's been shot, and then the person runs away. So he's going to be out there on the highway by himself to get there.
And you definitely want to kind of protect yourself first, make sure the things, you don't want to run into a bunch of blazing bullets. But, and, you know, on the streets, when we work on streets, we try to make sure the scene's safe, too. Now, that doesn't always work. I got called to a medical call. Well, on more than one occasion, I've been called to a medical call, and I went in without the police, and it was not a medical call. It was a homicide. So, you know, sometimes you just got to flip a coin and hope you're on the right side of the, coin. But
Responding, isn't it? You just don't know. I know that in training they tell you to assess your conditions, much like the flight attendants. And we look out the windows, and before you open your door, make sure there's not a tree there or something else, or a fire. And so assessing your conditions and being aware of your environment. But it's very dicey nowadays to be aware of your environment because you never know what's going on.
Well, situational awareness is very important in any job field. I mean, whether you're a flight attendant, you're an EMT, a fireman, a nurse, an electricity line repair person, anything, a road worker, you know, you got to always pay attention.
Even just a shopper at a mall, or
a golfer.
Or a person that's at a nightclub. I mean, this thing that happened in Orlando, whether the shooter was a CIA asset or not, but I think some people really did get shot, and people do get killed in these, even when they're coordinated false flag type events. The gunshots are real. The bullets are real. The deaths are real. And I think, you know, you just don't think about that when you're going into a shopping mall, but it can happen there. We've seen it happen many times. So nowadays we have to be aware everywhere.
I have had situational awareness most of my life. The one thing they, as a nurse, you learn is a thing called your sixth sense. If your gut tells you something, do not ever, ever dismiss it. And you're 99% you're right. So if you're walking in a mall or wherever and something don't look right, don't feel right, don't dismiss it. Back up, see what's going on. You know, maybe go get back in your car. Certain situations, certain places you may go, you might want to go ahead and carry your weapon. Certain parts of town, you know, might be worse than others. But and that really doesn't even matter anymore, what part of town's bad or not, because stuff happens everywhere now.
Yeah, we're in a new reality. And I think that people are really, I have had so many people request for me to, you know, get on this program for helping them get prepared, which is, you know, why I thought this was a great time to think about the medical start. A lot of people don't have medical training, and they don't realize that you can get some free right there on YouTube in the, you know, right there in front of your phone, wherever you're at, if you're online or in your computer. And you can get so much information, even stuff to print off the internet and print it while you can, while you have the information available and the electricity to print it. And that's why that three-ring notebook is really a great idea for people, especially if you don't have medical training and you maybe need to help your family or friends or neighbors when it all comes down. And God only knows what could happen. And it may not be a shooting. It could be a biological, chemical attack. And that's where you'd want to have that baking soda and Epsom salt, right?
Correct, because I think it's 2 cups of baking soda to one cup of Epsom salt or vice versa. You're supposed to soak for, I think, 30 minutes in the tub because your skin absorbs. Your skin absorbs very well. So actually, if you're bathing in dirty water, that's a no-no. And, you know, we need to talk about hygiene, too. If you're in a situation where maybe you're sheltered in place with no electricity for a month, I mean, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems with water, staying clean, good hygiene. If you do not keep good hygiene, you're going to be opening up a Pandora's box for all kinds of terrible illnesses that you're not going to be able to treat.
Besides those wipes that you can purchase and you can get it at Costco or anywhere, the hand wipes and that sort of thing, besides those, what do you think using maybe a spray bottle with a little bit of bleach and water and things like hydrogen peroxide diluted and things like that? Give us some ideas
I do. I have a $99 spray bottle, and I put about a 1-9, 1-10 ratio of bleach to water, whatever, about an inch of bleach, and then fill the rest of it up. And I keep that on my counter. I use that in all kinds of situations. Just spray your counter down, spray your cutting board down. But peroxide, bleach, all that is good. You need to, you know, always keep your cutting boards and countertops and all that stuff clean. But if you're in a situation where you can't bathe regularly and all that, you need to, you need to be thinking about those kind of things. You know, get you some gallon jugs of water and keep back somewhere. Had a friend in Katrina, him and his son used one gallon of water a day to bathe in, and they had to split that gallon, but they bathed every day best they could. And then if your water's contaminated, people, you need to be thinking about that. They make these little tablets. You can also put water in a used gallon jug and put a few drops of bleach in it. You can boil your water if you have fire. One thing I've always done, of course, I live in Louisiana, and we boil crawfish and shrimp and everything else, so everybody has one of those outdoor butane cookers, so, you know, that's no problem in Louisiana, you know, because we can fire that baby up and boil all the water or whatever we want to do. We can, you know, can our garden outside as far as that goes, but, you know, think about little things. You just mostly have to use your common sense, and you have to think, you know, pre-plan scenario. Imagine a scenario, and then imagine what you would do to implement or fix a problem or whatever.
Right. You know, one thing go ahead.
That's one of my preparedness plans is I keep about 3 or 4 cases of canning jars. So if the power was to go out for a while, I'm not going to lose all my food in my freezer. I'm going to start canning outside with my butane cooker. So, therefore, I keep 2 or 3, 4 extra full bottles of butane. And, I live very far from town, so I always try to keep enough gasoline with stabilizer in it. So if I had to get to town to take someone to the hospital or something, I could have gas for that. But those are just I'm kind of a plan B person, and I think of that. But there's some diseases out there that if you get them, it's going to be hard to recover, especially if you're old or young. Like salmonella, shigella, enterovirus, norovirus, any of these viruses or intestinal problems, there's many of them out there. If you start, you know, you eat something wrong, you let your food spoil and eat it anyway, all these kind of things. You start having vomiting and diarrhea, and you don't have the capability of overcoming that, it could be deadly. Very seriously deadly in the elderly or young.
That's very true. There is a product on the market that's really affordable and it's highly effective, and it's called grapefruit seed extract, GSE, and you can buy it at almost every store. It kills over 600 different microbes, and it's highly concentrated. You can wash your vegetables. I use it for cleaning my cutting boards and washing my vegetables, and I have it in my bathroom. You can gargle with it. You can, you know, clean your skin with it. You have to dilute it because it's very, very concentrated. But it is the only natural remedy, or I guess a remedy I could call it, antidote for anthrax. So I'm going to repeat it again. Probably got everybody's attention. It's called GSE, grapefruit seed extract. Costs about $13 for a large bottle.
I'm really interested in looking into that because, you know, I've studied herbs. I have two friends that are herbologists, and I don't even know if that's the right word, but that's what I call it. And they have taught me a lot. They've taught me a lot about essential oils and herbs and plants that are in your yard that you may not even know that are useful. There's a plant called plantain that I thought was a weed. It's been in my yard, you know, forever. But some of these things, like the bleach and the peroxide, you know, they kill mold and mildew. They disinfect. The bleach is not good for your septic tank, though. So if you have a septic tank, be careful, you know, using bleach in your septic tank. Now, you're not going to have your dishwasher, I hate to tell you. So make sure you're washing the dishes with some bleach in that water so you can kill those germs.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. And, you know, I tell people, because I teach a lot of classes on preparedness, and I tell people you get online and start looking the book 1 Second After will inspire you to get it done yesterday. And then to prepare yourself for an EMP strike, because there's been a lot of chit-chat for the last several years about an EMP. And I've just recently been contacted by some people that are hearing rumors that they will blame Russia or Iran or whoever we want to battle with. And if part of our grid goes down, it's going to affect the entire country. And it's going to affect your electricity. So one great way to prepare yourself and to know what you need is to unplug your house from the electricity. Just go to your circuit breaker and turn it all off. And that way you'll be able to see when you get up in the morning, are you going to be able to take a shower in cold water? Are you going to take a bath in the sink instead with your washcloth? And when you come time to cook dinner, do you have a heating source and that sort of thing? And if you can't dry your hair and it's long, do you have your rubber bands or bandanas or whatever? And that is probably the best way to really prepare for an EMP. And when it gets dark, do you have candles? And are they somewhere handy? Can you see, is there enough candles to light up every room and make them safe if you have children? So that's a great way to prepare for that. And I think if you're prepared for an EMP strike, you then can be prepared for just about anything. If we have a biological attack and you're near a major city or where it's happened, can you seal off a room? You might want to think about that. Or a chemical attack, can you get to a place and be safe in your home and seal off a room? I have a room that's got lots of stuff in it that it basically has rolls of tape, plastic and duct tape. So the whole room has no windows, it's under stairs and it's rather large, but I can seal the whole thing off. So if there were something going on in the air, like biologicals and stuff, there's plenty in there to probably live for about a week and a half, including a toilet.
Is that where you keep your chocolate?
Yeah.
I keep my chocolate there, yeah, right.
They make these little camper toilets that are really easy to carry around. I've got one, I don't remember what they cost, but you can just put, you put the little stuff in there, you carry it around, whatever. But also on YouTube, there's anything you want to know there. It'll teach you how to make an outdoor oven. It'll teach you how to store stuff in the ground to keep it cooler longer with, like, terracotta pots and gravel and some. I don't know. I haven't looked at that stuff in a long time. But anything you want to know is out there. But on the medical end, especially if you have a disease, you need to really seriously think about what you're going to have to do to take care of yourself, depending on what medicines you're on and what your disease process is, you know. And especially if you're older and if you're on a lot of meds, you need to have at least 90 days put back.
Now, JoJo, don't forget to tell us how to make an electrolyte.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay, great. I'm going to have to post that. I don't have the recipe, but it's like it's honey. Honey and lemon and water and orange juice and I forgot the other thing. But because you're not going to be in a situation where you can get an IV, which is what you really need, unless you live close to me, and then I could probably help you out. But
yeah, if all of a sudden I feel like I want to live in Louisiana. I like that whole idea that boiling up those crayfish and and having a nurse next door. Yeah, that'd be handy to. We should all move in down there by JoJo. So when it all hits the fan, we'll be ready. But yeah, I just, that is great information. And really, people, get your do your search engines on not just on YouTube, but also there's printed information. So if you've never taken a first aid class, and by the way, a lot of fire departments give free CPR and first aid classes, so you can check.
You know,
yeah, I know.
My theory is right now, today, is you need to go watch it on YouTube, because it, you know, it may take you 2 or 3 weeks to find a class. I think everybody needs to get really aware of a few things, like, you know, pretty quick. I wouldn't put it off 2 or 3 weeks. We have the convention coming up. It's already going to be chaotic. We know it's going to be chaotic because they're planning it. So.
Yes, they are. And that's one reason why I'm just I know I've been under the gun getting this book put together, but have been really wanting to get talking to people about being able to see the predictive program, to see things being set up. We have George Soros that is paying these Black Lives Matter people to go to the conventions and to have riots. There's something going on. I just got a notification on Facebook from someone that there's some kind of big threat in Dallas at the police department, and I don't have any other details, but there are things that are popping, and it's popping quickly. So when you hear JoJo and I both tell you, get this done yesterday, that means when you stop listening to this show, get out there.
Get on your computer.
Get on your computer, get your list going, go to the dollar store, go to Walmart. You don't have to spend a lot of money. If you don't want to buy a plastic box, get a cardboard box. Line it with the groceries.
I mean, get something. Also, get cough and cold medicine, cough medicine and then the cough and cold, because your immune system's going to be down, so you're probably going to get a cold. So, you know, try to keep you comfortable. Yeah.
If you're a person that gets upset in the digestive system because of stress, you're going to be under stress. So whatever your body reacts to stress, get your over the counters and get ready for that. If it's if you get diarrhea, or if you get, you know, a head cold or something, make sure you have that, because every one of us knows how we react to stress, and our physical makeup usually has one thing that it does. I mean, I'm a person, for instance, if I get stressed out, I can't eat. I just am not hungry. It's a weird thing. So that's how I react. But other people, you know, they get diarrhea, or they get constipation, or they get some other head cold or something, asthma.
And let me just mention one thing, because there's big elements to anything, or any kind of situation like this. Is that some people are going to be able to handle this mentally, and some aren't. So you're going to have to watch for those people that are not going to be able to handle a bad situation. They may be good people, normal, everyday good people, but they may just totally freak out.
Well, that's true. And a lot of our population is on antipsychotic medication anyway.
That's a whole other show right there, because when you come off those antidepressants, and probably 80% of the population is on antidepressants. That's the worst thing they ever did. But anyway, that's another
and
show.
And a lot of our soldiers that are coming back from the Middle East are on them. And they're not going to – they'll run out if they have a month, maybe 2 months' supply. And then if it's a long-term situation, you've got that to consider too. And there are also some herbal and essential oil remedies that you can use instead, but will they? Not everybody will. So your neighbors could be kind of whacked out as well, which brings me back to making sure
that you cannot go cold turkey off of antidepressants. If you stop suddenly without weaning yourself off of them, it causes severe side effects. So that's, you know. So if you were in a situation, so let's say all hell's broke loose and you knew you weren't going to be able to get your medicine and you had 30 days of it, well, gosh, I really can't tell you this as a nurse.
I can't really tell you this. Let me just say it for you, since I'm not an RN. You probably won't start weaning yourself off of that medication with that month you have, and reducing very your dosage until that end of that 30 days, maybe can be 40 or 45 or even 50 days worth, by cutting your prescription down slowly and weaning yourself off of it. If you are in a situation where we're, let's say we're in a war, or we're in a situation where it doesn't look like it's going to be fixed in the next 30 days, that would be my recommendation. You want to start weaning yourself off of it. How about that?
Sounds pretty good to me.
You know, that is something we need to think about. You just said 80% of the population is on some kind of antidepressant or antipsychotic medication.
Or anxiety, or any psych meds.
Yeah.
Psych meds are a breed of their own. We could do a whole show on that someday.
Oh, yeah. So what we could have is like a zombie apocalypse then, because people really are going to be having a meltdown because they can't get their drugs. And if they don't know enough to start weaning themselves off of it as soon as it starts hitting the fan. And a lot of times under stress, people that are on those medications will self-medicate and take more, which is the worst thing you can probably do. But rather than start weaning themselves off, they'll start doubling up or tripling their dose and self-medicating. So if that is in itself could cause your neighborhood to be real crazy.
And I have a lot of friends that recently are learning to make wine. So they'll have a way to self-medicate with wine, I guess. But they're learning to make their own wine these days.
Well, it's interesting. You know, because I'm a huge prepper. So one of the things that I always set aside is coffee, an instant coffee at that. Well, because people also, if you're a coffee drinker, you just need to have your coffee, and that can help too. And also in your food storage for things like that, you need to remember you need comfort food. And so if you like chocolate, chocolate's a real good thing to stow away, put in your airtight containers and that sort of thing. And of course you have to rotate your chocolate. So you'll have to rotate your chocolate and eat some of it and then buy new stuff because it doesn't last. It's not going to have a 5-year shelf life. But you want to have some comfort food as well. So if you like, pudding or something like that, you want to have some things like that that'll give you some comfort if you're...
Some things you can stock up on to barter with later, like bits of whiskey, alcohol, whatever. I mean, some things you can use... And, I mean, from a medicinal standpoint, having some stuff like that probably wouldn't hurt too much either. But I don't know. Everybody's different. But these are just the things you need to think about. Tools, water, keep your water clean, hygiene, toilet paper. You better stock up on that.
That's a really important thing, and I know people talk about
You know, I'm laughing so hard because that just reminds me of an old person we used to know. I'll tell you about that later. But it is important. I mean, especially if you have a big family, man, y'all will be having the showdown fight over who gets the last roll of toilet paper.
Exactly.
So,
there's
no more Sears and Roebuck cabinets, so. catalogs.
No more catalogs to use, or phone books either. They're kind of tiny if you even get one anymore, a phone book, because they used to be really big.
Yeah.
So that's, it's the thing is, it's important is that you do something soon so that you have set yourself a goal. Have at least your medications, your over-the-counter stuff in case you get ill. And make sure you know where they're at. I've come from earthquake country, so we've always had our stuff by a door and in a closet, like a coat closet. But it's filled with emergency stuff, water, and that you have to, if your house is no longer standing, you can get right in that door and pull your stuff out that you need and things like that. So you kind of want to look at your surroundings, and are you going to be dealing with natural things like also earthquakes, fires, tornadoes, flooding, and those kind of things. And so you want to kind of make your emergency stuff be pretty much,
ready,
centered.
By the door, ready to go.
Yeah. And always, if you're in an area where there's fire and you might have to evacuate your home, that's a whole different kind of prep. So there's lots of different things. If you're going to be able to shelter in place, it's much better because you can have a lot more stuff in your home.
And I never keep all my stash in one place. All my stash is not in the house. I may have some in the barn. I may have some in the house. I keep a few things in the trunk of my car, you know, all kinds of different. Because if your house burned down, you don't want to lose all your stuff.
Exactly. And now, you know, that kind of leads me to something else. Even just a shoe box or a boot box or something, or a small grocery bag or one of those reusable bags from the grocery store, that you can even put a clean old sheet or something in there, a box of Kotex. If you come across a state patrolman or police officer that's been shot, you want to have some stuff like that in your car, so you don't have to rip your own clothes off. You can, you know, clean a sheet with a nice soapy water with lots of bleach in there, put it in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your car. But a little small box of Kotex to stop the bleeding if it's a gunshot wound. Those kind of things can save someone else's life and your own too. So just a small
and that's
little...
also where that turkey baster is important, because in a lot, they may have blood in their mouth or they may be vomiting. That's why you need the turkey baster, because of the airway. You have to try to keep the airway clear. That's why a dollar turkey baster from the dollar store is very important to keep in your little kit.
You know, people just don't realize how much stuff you can buy at the dollar store, do they? I mean, it truly is amazing. You don't need a lot of money to prepare yourself medically for just about any kind of emergency.
You can start this weekend at Saturday night. Instead of going out and spending $60 eating out tonight, you might ought to just go get you some hot dogs and go to the dollar store with that $60. Start prepping tonight.
You could definitely get a lot of stuff with $60. You know, when I was in a position where I didn't have a lot of money, but I needed to prepare myself, I found all kinds of change around my home, my laundry room and places where I would just empty out coins from my pockets and other people's pockets. And, you know, I found it all, took it to a Coinstar machine. I had like $80 and went out and bought bulk food and started by, that's how I started. Then I just found that it was like, it was a gift. So you can do that by just, like you said, not go out to dinner and drinks tonight and put that money toward buying all the stuff. Even if you get it at the dollar store, it's still going to work. An aspirin is an aspirin. Hydrogen peroxide.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of stuff. You don't need the name brand on it. It's all pretty much the same kind of stuff. So
in a bad nutritional situation, you're going to need protein. So you need to stock up on tuna fish. Then there's all kinds of other canned, like canned spaghetti, canned ravioli. There's that corned beef in a can you can make meals out of. You can get Spam, and then you can add some potatoes and vegetables and make you a soup. Those are the kind of things you need to think about, what's put back in your cupboard. It's not that you really want to go fix that and eat it right now. I hate Spam. But I promise you, if I was hungry, I would eat it. So.
Oh, that's true. And that's a great way to look at some of the stuff you put away. You know, just those dehydrated or freeze-dried soup mixes are a really handy thing to have, because even if you don't have a heating way to heat your water, you can always rehydrate stuff with cold water. So most of that stuff will rehydrate. It'll just take longer to do so. But when you're, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to eat it. But the thing is, you need to have something. And that's why, you know, I tell people, please make sure that you can do this as soon as possible, because that way you're not at the mercy of the government or anyone else, and you can be self-sufficient. And the more prepared you are, the more helpful you'll be to other people. And so I always like to help people get really on top. And when you're to a position where you're looking at the grocery store, I know my neighbors are young. They're a young couple. They would never think about this. I'm going to pick up another bag of rice and put their name on it and set it aside for your neighbors, because you'll be standing and there are going to be people that absolutely collapse and fall apart and they're not ready and they're going to panic. But if you're ready.
They better get them some cloth diapers and put some formula back too, or some kind of powdered milk or something.
Exactly.
You know, if they have small children.
Exactly.
And if you think you're going to go to the grocery store, forget it, because a run on a grocery store lasts 18 hours.
Yeah.
You better have a full army.
You probably have seen that with the weather coming down and situations before where people run to the store and they buy all the food out of there within 18 hours. So you're not going to get to go do that. That's why I just want people to have, You know, even if it's, like you said, if stuff you wouldn't normally eat, but it's something that you can eat, make sure you have a can opener that's not electric.
Oh, for real.
Yes, and you can buy those at the dollar store, or at IKEA has them for 99 cents. And, you know, make sure you have more than one. And, as you know, some sharp knives. But we forget when we get all electric, like our can openers and our everything in our kitchen, make sure you can do everything manually.
And another thing I keep everywhere, I have two or three, is these little devices. I can't think of exactly what they're called. They're like a knife, but they have all kinds of different gadgets on them. It's kind of like an Army Swiss thing. They
like
have another name for them. Yeah, like a Leatherman.
Yeah. Oh, Swiss Army
everybody
knife.
Should. Yeah, but those Leathermans, man, they have everything, you know, everything. So those are handy to have.
Yeah, and you got a screwdriver and all kinds of stuff you can use.
And pliers,
right?
And all kinds of stuff.
Exactly.
Leather, little MacGyver tool. Well, I've enjoyed it, but my dog is really cutting up, so I think I probably ought to mute myself.
Okay.
So
well, thank you for joining.
I'm getting where I'm unable to control him.
Okay. Well, we'll let you go, and thank you for joining us, and let's do it again. We'll put on another show, and we'll go a little bit deeper and help some people, and I'll be able to get my...
But the next show we'll have some questions, and you know it'd be easier, you know, if I had people with questions, and I could just roll right into whatever they needed to know.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll do that. I'll put that out on my Facebook and my Facebook groups and stuff, and so we can get some good questions and we get some good answers. So thank you so much,
there you
Jojo.
Go.
Nurse
All
Jojo,
right.
Share your dog for us.
Thank you. I'm going to keep listening. I'm just going to mute myself.
Okay. Well, that is awesome to have that kind of information coming in. And I just need to stress this. I'm not a fearmonger, but I am a person that sees the writing on the wall. And like I said, the more prepared you are, whether it is to bug out or shelter in place or for...
That would be bug out or bug in.
Bug out or bug in. Whether it is a biological, chemical, nuclear attack, whether it's a war, whether it's terrorism, whether it's just riots in your town. Be safe and be prepared. And if you are prepared, then you can help your friends, family, and neighbors to understand what's going on. Because, you know, all those people that have sat back and called us kooks, and one of the things that they've done, besides labeling you a conspiracy theorist or some other crazy label, is they've kind of put preppers in a laugh at column, like a conspiracy nuts. So you don't have to tell anybody what you're doing, but you just got to get yourself together. Don't need to talk to anybody about it. You just need to buy extra, and you need to store it in your place. And if you live in an apartment, you think you don't have a place, you probably have all kinds of space in your coat closets near your front door. You can buy cases of water. You can keep things in small boxes that you can put in your car if you need to bug out. If you need to evacuate, you want to take this stuff with you. I have boxes in my garage that have old towels and sheets that I've cleaned and wrapped in plastic, and they're in a, you know, relatively small cardboard box so that I can put them in the car and go. So you want to keep that in mind as well. So, well, we probably will do some more shows on this, and I've got a website I'm working on to help you go a little bit deeper, and I'll pull some of those videos that Jojo and I were talking about, and we'll help you to get prepared. But take this information and get out there tonight to the dollar store, if nothing else, or Walmart or somewhere, your grocery store. Get those basics for your medical needs and some extra food. So we're just about out of time. I just want to thank you. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll get Jojo back. And if you are listening and you are in touch with me, either email me, one of my websites, methodicalillusion.com, methodicaldeception.com, methodicalconclusion.com, RebeccaRoth.com, and they'll all be in the description box. You can email me questions. You can go in the Facebook group and ask questions in there as well. So we'll get those questions answered as soon as we put a show together with Jojo again.
Well, I enjoyed this. I mean, usually I don't get to talk much anyway, and I really didn't get to talk much this time. And it was good for all of us.
Well, that's good. So, well, I hope you find the tacos you're looking for. And when do you expect to be up in Fernley? Tonight? Tomorrow?
Oh, sometime tonight, I think.
Oh, tacos for dinner for you then, huh?
I'm working on my Spanish. Carne asada. Pollo.
All right. Well,
carnitas.
Enjoy. I tell my friends that tacos for Jesus. Hello. And they're in a big book now. Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you've had an interesting listen for our show tonight.